The Man in Line, brought to you by netzeromatrix.com, your one-stop shop for advice on renewable energy solutions and other green initiatives.
Pastor Mike, good afternoon. Welcome to Man in Line this Friday lunchtime, live from Douglas in the Isle of Man. So whatever's on your mind, whatever you have to say, then better out than in. Text 166177, email studio at magsradio.com, WhatsApp 166177, or call 66 1368. Yesterday we got really wound up with the proposal, or certainly it has been put forward, nothing's been acted on it yet, that Nobles Park, Nobles Hospital car parking be charged for. And it has to be said, there was an overwhelming negative response to that. Not one person said, jolly good idea, let's go ahead straight away. But also, another thing that falls under Manx Care's aegis is the exiting of patients from the Foxdale area from Ballasalla Medical Centre, who are now outside the catchment area. And the Ballasalla Medical Centre have come to the conclusion now that they're exiting some 300 patients from Ballasalla Medical Centre, and they have to find somewhere else. We've had a note in from Manx Care regarding this. We brought this up a few days ago. The decision to remove patients who are outside Ballasalla Medical Centre's catchment area has not been taken lightly by the practice, they say. And as a result, the population increase in Ballasalla, it's a result of the population increase in Ballasalla and vastly increased number of patients being registered with the practice, obviously, because they're putting in an enormous housing estate by the railway in Ballasalla. Ballasalla Medical Centres had to take the action to ensure that it can continue to offer a service to patients actually within its catchment area. Now, a number of patients, say Manx Care, who've received the recent communication from the medical centre, been patients at Ballasalla for a long time, considerable number of years, were retained by the practice when the boundaries were changed some years ago, but unfortunately can't go on as the catchment area population continues to increase. Ballasalla's getting bigger. Somebody has to go. A large number of patients who were contacted reside in Foxdale and St John's, which falls outside the boundary area for Ballasalla Medical Centre. The practice has reviewed all patients clinically before making the decision to contact individuals concerned. Now, residents in Foxdale and St John's are within the catchment area of the Peel Medical Practice. Patients can register by completing a form. You can either go to the practice or go to peeldoctors-iom.com. Snaefell Surgery is also more than happy to accept new patients from these areas. Registration details for Snaefell Surgery are at snaefell-iom.com. Identification with name and date of birth is going to be required. So there we are. Peel Medical Centre, Snaefell Surgery. If you are in Foxdale and St John's and you've been exited by Ballasalla, that's what you have to do. Julian's on now. Hi, Julian.
Hi, Andy. I'm only on just very quickly, but if anybody's wanting to have a little look at what's going on with agriculture, any farmers or anything, it was probably worth looking online for something. It's either you can do the UN and then One Health. One is in O-N-E, so UN One Health or WHO One Health. This is quite enlightening as to what's going on with changes in how agriculture is being done, centralization of agriculture away from the traditional places like New Zealand and the Netherlands and America. It's also probably worth looking If you go on YouTube and watch Klaus Schwab's speech at the B20 yesterday, the B20 is like the business side of the G20, which was the B20 was held in Indonesia, whereas the G20 is in Sharm el Sheikh at the moment. But his speech gives some insight into what's going on at the moment. But any farmers or anything, have a look at One Health. This is the initiative that's being done by the WHO, the UN, and the World Economic Forum.
Okay, can you draw a pencil pattern around it for us? Just tell us roughly what it says.
Yeah, basically, it looks like the bureaucrats want to take over pretty much all of it in the name of things like zoonotic diseases. So things like the COVID-19 pandemic, they want to make sure that, geese or something don't fly around and give diseases to chickens. Because if you look up on the BBC at the moment, 100,000 chickens have been culled yesterday in the name of a few birds that apparently had some sort of bird flu, which was what was alerting me to what's going on at the point of air at the moment. Because unless we know for sure, they're saying next year there's going to be a shortage of eggs in the UK as a result of this massive cull of chickens.
So aren't they rationing eggs in UK supermarkets at the moment?
Yeah, I think Aldi are only allowing you to have one or two boxes or something.
My word. Well, we'll take a look at that. It's World Health Organization. What's it called? One Health.
Health. H-A-L-T-H. So One Health. But if you actually just even look at the UN's page on it, will give you some idea about what they're on about, if you can get through the wordage that they're using.
Okay. All right. We appreciate that. Thanks, Julian.
Thanks, Andy. Cheers.
All right, good to hear from you. That's One Health, the World Health Organization, One Health, or the United Nations One Health. GPs get paid for each patient on their list, so presumably the Balasella GP payments will be reduced, says Texter 313. Well, not necessarily, because Balasella, I don't know whether you notice, is doing nothing but get bigger. There's obviously one side of the railway line, the building site is nearly finished, the new housing estate. They've even finished the roundabout. And then, of course, comes the other side of the railway line. So Balasella is going to go nowhere but up. So obviously Balasella Medical Centre is absolutely chock-a-block at the moment. But that was the situation. If you didn't catch it, obviously, if you've been exited from Balasella Medical Centre, if you're outside the area and have been historically at Balasella Medical Centre, it's Foxdale and St John's residents are within the catchment area of Peel, and Snaefell Surgery is more than happy to accept new patients. My word. Times change, don't they? Lots of messages. What's happening to Park and Ride, says Sue. We've not heard much about Park and Ride. Also, excuse me, we've not heard much about this car sharing. That was mentioned yesterday, and Tommy mentioned it the day before. Car sharing was always going to be the thing, wasn't it? Everybody was going to share cars. And now, apparently. There doesn't seem to be anything regarding car shares or Park and Ride in there. And that could possibly come in with possibly charging for parking at Nobles Hospital. No sense in charging at the hospital. People owe thousands of pounds to the government for parking in Douglas. And apparently nobody is collecting the parking fines, says Texter 306. And I wonder if did not attend numbers would increase for routine checks if hospital car parking charges were brought in, because obviously that would end up costing the system a lot more money. And Victoria didn't mention this to Julian while he was on talking about the United Nations One Health, but we still have no sight nor sound of the swimming pool report that was done recently. No sight of that swimming pool report as to what's happening for us or what's the recommendations for swimming on the Isle of Man. Alex says, just regarding Rob Callister, this is the story about Rob Callister who was sacked last week. Didn't Rob Callister outburst explain why he was sacked? Everything he alleged that Mr. Cannon didn't do was his job to sort out as minister, says Alex. I don't know, did you hear yesterday It was lovely to hear Dominic Delaney, one of the most outspoken MHKs of recent years, talking about how back in the day, people were more tight-lipped about what went on inside politics and didn't every jot and tittle wasn't spilled and told, and everything was confidential. But times have changed. That was then, and this is now. On the topic of hospital parking, in recent job adverts for the hospital, says Bill, it's offering the staff free parking. I'm not sure if this will be in the new job contracts, but if what's being said on job offers, so really they're charging people to see their relatives who could be at the end of their life, which means the government surely are trying to capitalise on this, on people's emotions. Thank you, Bill. Well, nothing's been said, but all I'll say is that the response we got from Manx Care was that charging for parking at Nobles Hospital has been considered. So it is on an agenda somewhere. It's been mooted that members of the Alabang government and the anti-Douglas tramway people have prevaricated, even though it was voted through and the money was allocated. Well, it seems that you're talking about the horse trams, that the money for the horse trams has been allocated somewhere else. So it's going to have to go back to Tynwald to be voted on again to get the horse trams from the War Memorial, Castle Mona Avenue, if you like, through to the sea terminal. And what at the moment is a patch of weeds. And still nobody said whether they're going to have to put another foundation in, a proper foundation in, for the tram tracks, because I wouldn't have thought you could just put tram tracks on those weed beds, the wilding beds at the moment. We'll see. And, of course, nothing has been confirmed about next year's railway timetable, whether or not next year's railway timetable will run as it does at the moment. All sorts of rumours going around, and as soon as we get a firm steer on that, then, of course, we'll tell you. Eddie on Man in Line now. Hi, Eddie.
How you doing, mate? All right.
Good, thanks.
Yeah. Just before I go, a lot of people ask me to get on and say things for them. I don't mind doing that as long as there's a lot of common sense in it. Quite easy. Some people won't get on the radio. But you just mentioned the swimming pool. Yep.
Yep.
Julian nearly always says something about it, but the people in Castletown are just wondering, like he says, when is this report going to come out? I think it's the reason why it's taking so long is because she's got it absolutely 100% wrong. Nobody seems to be using those machines that they put in now. Everything seems to be going wrong. You know, it's just losing its momentum, the pool. To me, I've said it a dozen times, I think there's something in the background trying to get it closed or something like that. But if they told us what it'll say, I think it'll say something like, you made a mistake, Julie, and put it right.
Well, remember Southern Pool is, it's run by the Southern Swimming Board. It's run by an autonomous board. It's not, doesn't come under the Department of Education, Sport and Culture. What does come under them is the Castle Rushen High School, which is next door. And, of course, they've prevaricated for years now. Mm. They haven't replaced Castle Rushen High School. And, obviously, they're not going to do anything with the pool until they do something with Castle Rushen High School because, you know, it's I'm not saying it's integral to it, but it is allied to it.
It's been neglected for a long while. They won't. The government departments don't spend money easily. We all know that. But they've spent it everywhere else, every other swimming pool. And also, just a little bit of information for you. You had Julie Eddy on that time, right? And I spoke to her and I put her right on the spot straight away by saying, can you swim? And she was a bit embarrassed about that and her kids are learning to swim. One of them is learning at Ballycomeen, she said. That was her words. Only little kids, aren't they? But anyway, recently I found out that she's only spent a load of money on Ballycomeen for the revamp, and yet she won't give one single penny to the swimming pool. for I think you did a thing where over, was it 18 years, how much had been spent or something?
Yeah, a lot of money had been spent out. And obviously, the renewable... I think one of the issues is, Eddie, that the Southern Pool, as you mentioned, it's the oldest pool. All the other ones are new, and it's easy to, you know, it's easy to repair a new pool. But doing something on an old pool is very difficult. So at some point, they've got to bite the bullet. Is the Southern Pool going to be scrapped or replaced? Because repairing it, I don't think, is that much of an option.
Well, I do. I mean, take, for instance, Peel. Right? Peel, not long back, had all the restaurant area all redone. It now works a treat. They spent a little bit of money on it, and now it is booming. That pool at Castletown used to make £30,000 a year until somebody cooked the books and said it's losing. It never lost at all. We all know that. Everybody in the know. It's just the way that the books have been manipulated over staff getting made redundant and things like this, or going off sick and things like that. But all as it wanted, and it still does now, a little bit of money spending on it, revamping it, and listen to the people who know, not the people who don't know.
Yeah. Well, the Southern Pool is still closed on a Sunday, isn't it, Eddie?
Yeah, the busiest day of the week.
That's it, as you say. When lots of people were working during the week, it's the one day that they're going to have a chance to go swimming, and it's closed.
Yeah, I think what they want to do is look straight at it in a little bit of common sense. Like I said, the first thing they should do is get rid of the administrators in there. It's absolutely hopeless. And the second thing is to listen to the people who used to work that and run it and make a good profit of it. And we're all friends more than anything. They were all pals. They got on great. Nobody gets on at all now. You know, it's just been left to... So somebody's put the stick in the spoke somewhere.
Eddie, tell me, is anybody buying anything from the vending machines?
Hardly anything, I've heard. Hardly anything. Nobody wants that. They want a bacon sandwich when they get out and a cup of, cup of tea, coffee, whatever.
So, I mean, would one of the answers be to put that cafe out to tender? And if somebody wants to try and run it as a business, they could.
Well, I know a lot of the people have been put off now. Some of the staff would have done that if they'd have been given the opportunity. But they were never given the opportunity. Administration and the board say, oh, no, we're going to do this. The place is just run down. There are rooms there that could have been used. We've said it over and over again to them. You know, these could be used for this, that, the other. But they wouldn't do it. They won't listen to anybody else except... That's why they need a fresh administration and a fresh board, maybe. I don't know. But a mess. A couple of other things.
We'll see. Oh, go on, sorry.
Yeah, go on. Did you want to comment on
We're
that?
We're just going to say, when this report comes out, and as you say, nobody quite knows what it's going to say, because it's pan-island, it's right across the island, so it's looking at all the swimming pool facilities, including Ballacameen's pool, at Ballacameen High School. It's going to look everywhere. But the whole issue is that the pool, apart from the one at King William's College, the Southern Pool is the only one, you know, south of Peel and south of Douglas. It's the only one there. Yeah. So, you know, there's one in the west, in the north. We've got the big one, of course, at the NSC. But a lot of people do live south of Douglas and south of Peel, and that's the only option.
They've got a great big new estate at Ballasalla. They're going to want somewhere to swim as well, aren't they?
No, that's a very good point, yes.
Yeah. A couple of other things. Like I said at the beginning, people ask me to say things for them. One of them is an awful lot of comment when I was talking to people last night. Will our government give us the 10% pensioners?
I wonder.
I wonder. They usually... Whatever the British government say, they follow suit straight away. Let's see if they do this time.
Okay.
All right. The other thing is, one more thing. I don't know these people at all. They're probably absolutely wonderful people. But the one I want to get at is whoever hires people at Manx Radio. The amount of people who are telling me, it takes them halfway through the news to understand what's going. And it's only when you put somebody with a foreign accent on. Why not employ somebody who can speak fluent English that you can understand straight away? The girl is probably wonderful. Chanel, is it? She's probably great, but she's very hard to understand at times. And also we've got a weatherman who's Scottish, who's very hard at times as well. So maybe we could employ some Manx people who talk fluent and we can all understand.
All right. Eddie, thanks for that. Thanks for that. Obviously, lots of people are employed with different accents, many different accents. And, well, that's part of life nowadays, isn't it? Different accents, different ways. Regarding the Southern Pool, now, if you use the Southern Pool, obviously, I think it closes at 4 o'clock on a Saturday. So from, and normally it used to be open till, what, 8 o'clock at night sometimes. In fact, I think it is open, is it Wednesday? It's open till nearly 8 o'clock on a Wednesday. You just wonder what the thinking is of cutting almost half of the weekend off for the Southern Pool. Throughout the week, the Southern Pool is public swimming, school swimming, lesson swimming. There are AquaFit classes, Aqua Blitz, I think it's called there, club swimming. There's lots of different people using the Southern Swimming Pool. And as yet, nothing, this famous swimming report, the swimming pool report, hasn't made an appearance. So what's when was the Southern Pool built? I think it was it late 70s or mid 70s? Until high-level civil servants' parking charges in Douglas are reinstated, parking charges at Nobles should never even be considered for the Manx public, says Texter 112. Civil servants don't pay for parking, so why should the taxpayer? Says Steve. And UK supermarkets are opening more express convenience shops as people are only buying a few items a day rather than doing a weekly shops. So maybe corner shops will make a comeback on our streets. It's about time they started charging at the hospital, right? It's surely the selfish ones who've ruined it for everyone. If you're visiting someone, no charge. If you're... Sorry, the rest of that is... Oh, sorry, if you're being seen to, i.e. an x-ray, a blood test, for free, otherwise charge people. Texter 614 says people leave their cars there and walk into town. I've heard this so often. And yet I've still never, ever seen, heard, or been told of any evidence that people... There are always apocryphal tales that people... Two or three cars drive to Nobles Hospital car park. Park, leave two there, and one drives into Douglas or elsewhere to park. I've heard it many times, but I've never seen any evidence of it. I've been told that the hospital has done surveys and had people there standing and watching, and it doesn't happen. Now, if you can prove that it happens, then I'd love to know. I think everybody would love to know.
Concerned, confused, or curious about climate change? Want to do your part? Then visit netzeromatrix.com, helping businesses and individuals understand the net zero targets that government has set, how they'll be achieved, and what impact it will have upon us. Plus, get practical advice and tips for saving energy, the options available for switching to renewable energy technologies, and much more. We all need to do what we can. So visit netzeromatrix.com and join us.
Spectrum.
Are you buying the right insurance for your business? What are you paying for exactly? With premiums rising year on year, it's important to make sure that you've got the right cover included in your policy. Aon will visit your business, review your insurances, and provide advice on how your cover can be improved. For a free policy health check, call Aon today on 692 400. Aon Isle of Man Limited is registered with the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority as an insurance intermediary in respect of general business.
Grill, bake, steam, boil, stir fry, simmer, fry, roast, slow cook, griddle, toast. An Aga can do it all. An Aga isn't just an amazing cooker, it's a way of life. Aga specialist Haldane Fisher can recommend an Aga for every home. Call in store and discover the range and join thousands of owners who love coming home to Aga's warmth, style and practicality. Haldane Fisher for Aga, home to great cooking.
Join us this weekend live from the Ross Revenge for another Radio Caroline North. We have virtual money to give away to spend in the Caroline web shop, and we're sponsored this time by Turton Tower Woodland Cafe. Join us this weekend live from the Ross Revenge for Caroline North with Manx Radio.
648 and 1368 AM.
The Man in Line, brought to you by NetZeroMatrix.com. Helping Isle of Man companies and citizens to understand net zero targets and a green future.
Fast to my 28 minutes before one. Stephen's on Man in Line now. Hi, Stephen.
Good afternoon, Andy, and good afternoon, listeners. Autumn is certainly on the way now.
Yes.
I wonder, could I use the good communication of the Man in Line to let people know about a meeting that's been organised by the DOI in Peel on Tuesday at between 5 and 7 o'clock at the Corran Hall, and it's to talk and give another presentation about the works on East Quay and round the corner onto the promenade in Peel. What's happening, Andy and listeners, is as people see the works unfold, there's nothing wrong with the works. Incidentally, the contractor's doing a lovely job of the work program, but it's the design of the scheme that everybody is concerned over, that I speak to. Not everybody, of course, some people will probably like it, but the scheme essentially is going to take away the ability of parking on East Quay, and it'll be replaced with a much smaller amount that's left over. There's about 30 spaces, and it'll be down to about 7. Now, what's interesting, Andy and listeners, is in 2013, there was a parking survey carried out by a company for the DOI in Peel of the problems of parking, and they made a number of recommendations. I wouldn't go through the whole lot with you because we'd take the whole program up. But a number of these recommendations was, and they looked also at East Quay and the centre of Peel, and East Quay was designated as an orange, which is amber, which is 85 to 100% use, and in the other survey, it was also in red as 100% parking use. Now, some of other parts of the recommendation of the survey were that another story should be built on Douglas Street car park with a steel structure. That was recommendation 2, I think. Recommendation 1 was do nothing. And the other recommendation was that they would use the car park of the House of Manannan and put another story, one single story, on that to cope with the extended and extra car parking requirements by 2026. Now, what we've had, Andy, is we've had the recommendation 1 seems to have been accepted, which was do nothing. But what is concerning people now is we're taking away the parking on East Quay, and they're saying we'll use the House of Manannan to replace it. But that was already under the parking survey recommendations to be used, and with another story on the car park.
So it's going down from, you said it's going down from 30 to what, 8 or 7?
Well, there'll be about 7 or 8, and part 2 of them will be a electric car parking, so not everybody can park in the electric car parking slot, so that knocks it to 7. So there's a huge reduction simply in the amount of car parking available in this area. Now, what I think has been forgotten by the department when they've done the plans is that there's a lot of residential streets behind East Quay where there's no parking because of the nature of the town. So that they're losing that. And also, I don't think there's been any impact assessment on the business and residents of the area. So we're also losing the unique narrow pavements of the harbour, which give Peel its unique look. So I do not think that they've complied with the conservation policy as currently existing, signed off by Tim Wild. Now, this plan did have support a couple of years ago. Not support, it went through due process, but it was during the COVID emergency. And consequently, at that time, everybody was being told not to leave the house, otherwise you'll bring the virus back and kill their granny. So it was put through then, but they had the same presentation then, because I did go to it, and I made comments, but the comments went nowhere. They weren't noted down, and the plan wasn't sort of adjusted to take note of all the people who commented. You still got that plan. So it's now dawning on people that the big changes that's happening, and people have asked for a requisition meeting. However, the town board haven't granted that at the moment, preferring to wait for the presentation. But I've got me doubts over the presentation, because if it's the same as the first presentation, it'll only be this is what you're getting, and this is the reasons why we've decided to do it, and this is where we're putting the parking, which we're losing.
Which is my next question, Stephen. Do you think this is going to happen?
Well, don't forget, this is only a plan as approved by a planning department. If the political will is there from the Peel MHKs to say this plan is not suitable, or it's taken away so much parking that it will impact on the residents and businesses in the town, then it could be changed. It could be paused where they got to now, and they could reinstate the narrow pavement, which would allow the parking to continue. And incidentally, they could do what is recommended in the parking survey, and that is to also put another story on the House of Manannan car park to comply with the extrapolated requirements by 2026, which is only 4 years away.
But I'd like to
add, Andy, if I may, is that as recently as February of this year, at a meeting of the town hall, one of the local MHKs, Tim Crookall, did bring up at that meeting the problems of parking that this scheme would bring. And when he was the DOI minister, he paused the scheme, probably because he knew that this was going to cause issues.
How much change, how much difference, if this goes ahead, how much difference will it make to the look of Peel and to the look of East Quay?
Well, I am a supporter of conservation. I hold my hands up and I say I am a supporter, and I do like to see conservation done in the proper meaning. It will change it completely from being a 19th century working harbour to do a pastiche of itself by wide pavements and the different change along the harbour. Now, if you look at Spit Corner, if anybody wants to come and look down at Spit Corner, you will see the width of the pavement there, and I think it will impact on coaches and cars coming in each direction, and I think it would probably end up as a one-way system, because I believe that if you would have to use the carriageway right up to the harbour side to get two vehicles round, and the goodness gracious, that will cause some scary moments for some people if they got to go right to the harbour edge to use the entire carriageway.
Right.
Don't
well, Mr. Thomas is going to be there on Tuesday, isn't he?
He is going to be there, but I'm concerned about the format of the meeting. How will it record people's concerns? Because they've never done this in the past, recorded people's concerns. Will they take away those concerns and change it, pause it? The former minister and the member for Peel, Tim Crookall, was right to pause the scheme. It wasn't right when it was done, and it's not right now, really, for a conservation area.
And also, you would think that, Tim Crookall, of course, is now back as an MHK, Kate Lord-Brennan, the other one, you would think they'd be at the meeting on Tuesday.
Well, one would hope so, but don't forget, this meeting on Tuesday is only really a presentation of what they're going to do.
Yeah.
It's not a meeting to hear people's concerns and then make a decision, have we got this right? Because as I keep on saying, this is not law, it's merely a plan.
Right.
And if enough people object to the plan, well, surely to goodness, our two town MHKs and the local authority should say, well, they've got this plan wrong.
Yeah, well, that was my next question again, Stephen. Where do Peel Town Commissioners sit in this?
Well, I went to the town hall first, and I believe they voted not to oppose, but that doesn't mean they supported, because it was within the COVID emergency, and although there has been a lot of relaxation on the island, the feeling of a lot of people was not to leave the house, to try and do as much as they possibly can by not mixing and not going out. So it was done at the wrong time. It was slipped in at the wrong time. It shouldn't have been done then. It should have been waited for a year till everything was completely out and we'd all had our jabs and things were going again.
Okay. Well, Stephen, let's give that a plug again. It's Tuesday. It's at 5 o'clock it is, of course, isn't it?
Yes, when people are going for their tea. So it's 5 till 7. It's only a presentation as far as I'm aware. I might be wrong. Maybe Chris Thomas is going to there and listen to people's opposition to it.
Well, they said they are going to answer questions on the project. So if you've got questions, write them down and go along and say them.
Of course.
All right.
The problem is, Andy, that... Thank you.
No, not at all. Thank you, Stephen, for that. So we'll call this, I can't believe it's not a requisition meeting, for next Tuesday, 22nd, Corran Hall in Peel, 5 till 7. Department for Infrastructure will be there. Minister for Infrastructure and his officers will be there for this East Quay regeneration scheme. And you heard what Stephen thinks about it. Is this another anti-car project? I mean, that was mooted at Ramsey and the commissioners opposed it in Ramsey. The Ramsey Quay redevelopment got thrown out and that was going to cut down the number of parking spaces around Ramsey. And still hasn't been reconciled, really. Tony's with us now. Hi, Tony.
How are you doing, Andy?
Fine, thanks.
How are you?
Oh, you know, it's Friday lunchtime.
All right, I'll give you a little thought for the weekend. When Alf Cannon, bless his heart, came into power... He said, the DOI is not fit for purpose. I think it was him. And he said, we need to fix it. Okay? And we are still hearing DOI, pie-in-the-sky plans, which nobody has had any input to except the DOI. So my question is, when is this going to change? We have all these things that are out there which the government, not the people, but the government have imposed. For instance, we're all going to drive electric cars. These are imposed targets. They are not by general consensus. We're spending millions on global warming to try and stop something that's going to happen. And we have no record, apparently, or no report on where the money's gone. So my question is, the government doesn't seem to be doing what it said it was going to do. We have musical chairs among all the ministers, so nobody's responsible for anything. And that comes back, I'm sorry to say, to Alf Cannon. Not because he's failed, but because obviously he's probably struggling. And I'm not surprised. But it needs to have clear answers, and we need to have public knowledge of it. The comments that were made by the poor man who got fired and the response from the MHKs, I think, involved was, well, it's difficult to talk about. Well, no, it shouldn't be. It should be very open to talk about. If you've got a problem with somebody and it's a public issue, then it should be talked about. But we, again, as a government, keep sweeping things under the carpet. We were promised open government. Lots of information out there. We're not going to hide it from you. Transparency. I'm still waiting.
Just regarding electric vehicles, Tony, in terms of the infrastructure, the electrical infrastructure, the cabling that's going to be needed for this, I mean, forgive me if I'm overstating this, but that's going to take years, isn't it?
It's not only going to take years, you're going to have to put up another power station. I mean, Julian's given you all the numbers for it. It's pretty obvious that we cannot support 10,000 electric vehicles on the Isle of Man. It doesn't work. So don't get me wrong, I've got nothing against having hybrid cars or trying to reduce our impact on the environment. I think that's a good thing. But the way we're going about it is a sledgehammer to crack a very small nut, because we cannot influence global things. And they're all pandering, running around in circles, trying to say, look at us, look at us. We're doing a great job over here. Where in actual fact, we're not doing a very good job at all. I just wish they'd get real and start telling the truth, both to themselves and to the public, who are paying their salaries and are paying for this three-ring circus they're creating.
All right, Tony, have a good weekend. Thanks for being with us.
You have a good weekend as well, Andy. And I hope that Alf Cannon has a good weekend and has a think about the promises he made. And I really do hope, because I originally had a lot of faith in Alf Cannon, I really do hope he can do what he said he was going to do, which was fix the DLI, get transparency out there, and also get the people on board with all these things that government have set targets for. And whatever is said, it isn't the people that set these targets, it's government.
All right.
We were never consulted or asked. Take care.
Cheers now. Bye-bye. Regarding hospital car parking, says L, if they made the staff park in the overflow car park over the road by the playing fields, vagabonds, there'd be ample space for patients and visitors in the main car park, says that correspondent. Last night at Ronaldsway, the Dublin flight was left on the tarmac with all the passengers, loaders, as air traffic control went on a tea break, says Texter 297. Were you on that? They are allowed to have a break. In fact, they're mandated. Air traffic control is mandated, and if they break those mandatory rules, then they're criminally liable. So I take your point. That may have been so. But, I mean, the management simply cannot break air traffic control rules. The problem is they just don't have enough air traffic controllers. Roger's on now. Hi, Roger.
Hi, good afternoon, Andy. I just want to follow up with an earlier caller, and I agree with him in relation to the lady newsreader. But in my opinion, it's not so much the accent, Andy, it's the pronunciation. And it's horses for courses. She's a nice lady, I'm sure she is. And whoever selects or details people for specific tasks, I just think somebody with a broken English is not conducive with reading the news. I, for one, when I'm listening to the news, by the time I've deciphered what she said on the first opening subject, she's on the second one, and I've lost the first one. You know, I can't keep up. I can't keep up with her at all. And I think it's in this day and age, I think it's important that we are kept up to date with the news. And personally, what I do when she comes on and reads the news, I just switch channels, and so I can listen and understand it. Or I read your online news. I find it so difficult to understand her.
Okay, Roger.
It's a very delicate subject, but that's just my opinion.
No, you're more than welcome. Thank you, Roger. Thanks for calling today. The new airport director, says Jack, needs to take control of the situation, or no airlines are going to fly in the situation whereby we are short of air traffic controllers. No two ways about it. But you don't just get an air traffic controller off the peg. You can't just get them. Although, it has to be said, I think Peel Holdings are closing down Doncaster Airport, so there are a few air traffic controllers that are free in South Yorkshire at the moment. Will the parking charges at Nobles apply to MHKs, I wonder? And ordinary civil servants pay for parking. Many have to park in public car parks and pay the long stay fee every day. There are no concessions, says Sue. Wow. And also a message in just to say, I've seen people I know park their car in Noble's Hospital and get on the bus into town. They've been on the bus back to the hospital to get their car to go home. I was told it was free to park there and free on the bus, says Jane. Now, come on, in this day and age, surely people have photos.
The Queen's Pier Restoration Trust needs you. Our team of volunteers and enthusiasts is working on restoring Ramsay's Pier to preserve its heritage and to make it available to the public once more. But we need new volunteers. Whether you can help with fundraising, admin, marketing, IT, or in a practical hands-on way, we'd love to hear from you. Join the Queen's Pier Restoration Trust volunteers today. Find us on Facebook or email us at qprt@manx.net. This audio has been kindly sponsored by Paul Carey and Sons.
When you need a fitting memorial or headstone for a loved one, contact Manx Memorials in Peel. This long-standing family-run Manx company offer a wide range of granite and marble headstones and memorials, along with an island-wide inscription and renovation service. Manx Memorial's skilled professionals will take the time to help you choose a suitable memorial, and we're proud to say we'll beat other local quotes. Call 843 861 or email matthew@manxmemorials.co.uk.
Are you a reluctant landlord? Tired of tenant hassles? Cursed by constant maintenance? Tormented by empty properties producing no rent? Want to escape these worries or get out altogether?
At Prime Lettings, we understand your pain and have bespoke solutions to release you from these problems. Ring us on 616 707 for a free confidential chat.
Prime Lettings. We're on call and on the ball at 616 707.
Red and yellow and pink or blue?
Thinking of a rainbow?
No, choosing colours for our windows and doors at Manx Glass and Glazing.
Oh, who'd have thought we'd have so much choice?
We do at Manx Glass and Glazing. When it comes to windows and doors, they offer a great choice of styles, materials and fabulous contemporary colours.
Improve and brighten up your home. Visit the Manx Glass and Glazing showroom on Snugborough Trading Estate. Or get inspired when you see the range at manxglass.com.
The Man in Line. Brought to you by netzeromatrix.com, the world's leading carbon register and validation ecosystem.
Brian's with us now. Hi, Brian.
Hi, I'm just here shaking my head in disbelief. We've got a new hospital, a comparatively new hospital, that is in so many ways not fit for purpose. And we've got this problem with the car park. How have we got a problem with parking at the hospital? It's a new hospital with a new car park. Why don't we get the people who had anything to do with the planning, who'll still be around, and have a public execution of them? Why are we not suing the people who charged us so much for a design that's not fit for purpose?
Maybe they didn't think it would be that popular.
Well, yes, and they do all the planning and they get all the statistics and then they go and do something, a car park that you have to meander through the trees and get soaked and windswept trying to find your way to the car. In one instance, you actually turn, the path turns and directs you to walk away from the direction, the opposite direction to your going. How is it they didn't predict that people would walk across the grass in such a situation? Anybody that had anything to do with the planning of the new Nobles Hospital should hang their head in shame, get on the boat and leave this island before they're absolutely brought to book about it. Like so many projects, here we are discussing the cock-ups after the event and how we can put it right. But words fail me. I really do despair. Project after project is over budget, under thought through, and nobody's held responsible for the cock-up at the end of the day.
All right, Brian, we appreciate that. Thanks for calling today.
All the best. Thank you.
Cheers. Bye. Now. Okay, and I'm taking it that the public execution bit was, you know, dramatic license, shall we say. Message in from this is Emma, who just said What's the address? You mentioned that they were seeking expressions of interest for the postal services in Kirkmichael and Laxey. The email address you need is procurement@iompost.com. If you're interested, the expressions of interest for provision of postal, parcel and kiosk services in Kirkmichael and Laxey. More information by emailing procurement@iompost.com. Now, this coming Monday, on Monday, Home Affairs Minister Jane Paul Wilson, MHK, and Chief Exec Dan Davis will be live on Man in Line. Next Wednesday, DEFA Minister Claire Barber. Have a great weekend, and thanks to producer Chris Quirk.
W.I.